Joy is the name. I was thirsty, sitting around the house wanting to be here so bad. Not just anywhere, so I wanted to be here. This is a drink. Oh, this is such a drink. I'm so glad. January 22nd, I go for a surgery. And it fears me. I've had lots of surgeries, and I've only been in one other place that I feared what is about. What I'm about to go through. I would like for the whole body to pray for my surgeons and his team. He's a praying man, godly. The last time he worked on me, he came in, we had prayer, and then he worked on me. Pray for this man. His name is Seal. What's his first name? Justin Seal. Pray for this man. Pray for his team. Oh, God, it's good to be here. Feel the Spirit. See my family. God bless you all.
Said Zion rejoices again. I was thinking this script in the Old Testament said that the prophets, I don't know if it said prophets, but it said but they will see eye to eye when I bring again Zion. And I was thinking that word Zion evidently is a level of the church that we are striving for. I believe that we're reaching, like we talk about the restored church and Zion. I believe they're together. I believe that there's a level in God that I believe that we're reaching out to, and to be able to rejoice and worship God in a way that that the things of this world won't affect us, won't hinder us. I'm just looking forward to a time that we'll be totally given. Brother Payne was talking about, you know, being given. You know, Jesus gave his all. He didn't try to do anything on his own or for himself. He was here totally to, I don't know how you said that, Brother Payne, but it was like totally surrendered to God. His life, that's where he lived. And think about a church that's totally surrender to God. We're individuals. We have our own minds and our own thoughts. We have thoughts, you know, but to be able to somehow, you know, with God's help, to be able to govern our thoughts and to let God work in us in such a way that as a church, you know, be able to rejoice again, and, you know, the church rejoice together in the things of God, because, you know, we know that that's, you know, things of God is the most important in our life. You know, that's it thrills me to be able to look and see, you know, look, you can look back in the Old Testament, you can look back in the New, and how that even I was thinking about is the Simeon that he was able to see the salvation when Jesus was born. You know, he saw, you know, he knew what that meant. You know, he was waiting for that, you know, to be able to see the salvation of Israel. And we know that we are living in a time that the script in Romans that talked about the creation, you know, groaning, you know, just waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, that's what we're working toward, you know. And I like to embrace that. I like to be able to embrace a people, being a part of a people that's totally given to God, that their lives, that they're even, you know, even Paul said, bring, you know, even our thoughts under the subjection to God. You know, I find that hard to do. You know, I mean, unless God help us, you know, and unless God do something to help us to be able to, you know, rein in our thoughts. You know, that's, you know, we always heard, you know, that it's just a having a thought is not a sin. But when they use the example of birds, you know, lighting on your head, you know, your birds can fly over your head all day long, but don't let them make a nest on your head. And so don't let the thoughts dwell, you know, get in there and cause you to meditate on them. But it's okay to have thoughts, you know. It's okay to, you know, we're human beings and to be able to live in this world. And I get thrilled about God's people that's working together. We're trying to build something for God. You know, we're trying to work and be a part of something. Be a part of, it's a family, you know, be a part of a family that's living for God. That's, you know, the eternity that we talk about. You know, we talk about people that's totally, you know, not doing their own thing. You know, there are people that are totally given to God. You know, that's what we're talking about, a eternal home, you know, with God. You know, we live in this world and, you know, we have ambitions and things that we do and ideas that we have to go about our lives. God given us that privilege to, we're free moral agents. You can figure out things on our own and to a point, but eventually, you know, we're going to have to hone all that in and begin to, what do you want me to do, Lord? What would you have me to do, Lord, with my life? And how would you want me to live my life, Lord? Let me seek God to find out from God what would he have me to do. You know, I can do a lot of things, but what does God think about it? You know, Jesus asked his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? You know, they gave him all kind of, say, you're one of the prophets, you're this, you're that. But he said, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? You know, and that's what I want to do. I want to be able to answer that question to God. God, I know you're the Christ, Lord. I know you're my only hope that I have in this world. I know that. So anyway, I want to live accordingly. You know, I know that. So anyway, God is good to us today, and we embracing another year. And somebody sent my wife a deal about these days of the year, and somebody said that you've been given a 365 blank pages. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to do some good, write a book, whatever, you know? But anyway, we're thankful. I'm thankful to be here today and to be a part of God's people and to share, you know, a vision that God has deposited among his people. And I get to share and get to take part of that. You know, it wasn't my vision, but when I came here, they was talking about it. And I get to take part of it. I get to be a part of this vision that's been shared with me, and it can become my vision. if I allow it to, if I begin to embrace it in such a way, it can become my vision. It's going to have to become my vision. And I was reading this note. I can't think of Brother Strike wrote this, but anyway, he was talking about things that you treasure. You know, until you treasure the things of God, it won't get in your heart. You know, he was talking about things getting in your heart. You have to treasure it. You, when you begin to treasure the things of God, it lodges in your heart. And that's what you want. You want to have things not just, like I said, on paper, but we want to have it in our heart. We want to have his, not just his word, but just, you know, God's spirit. You know, what God is all about. You know, it's his nature. You know, we want to eventually become that, you know, become what Christ wants to be. So anyway, God is good to us, and he's allowed us to be here this year. We went to a funeral yesterday, and it's Brother Mansfield, and he lived almost all of 2014, but he didn't get to see this year. So we got a new year here, and let's use it, you know. Let's make the best of it, and allow God to help us to make the best of our time. I appreciate, you know, God has given us, it's somewhat scary too, you know, to think, you know, we'll live, you know. I know some people live longer than I have, but anyway, I just have to deal with my time that I've been here on this earth, you know, and see things change and see, things that maybe men thought, you know, things wouldn't have lasted this long. We wouldn't have been here this long. A lot of people didn't think we'd be here in 2015. There's some people thought, man, this has been over in the 80s, in the 90s, but we're still here. We're still here. So let's make the best of it. Let's live for God. You know, if God gives us, I appreciate that, Brother Leninger, Brother Smith, you know, dealing with time and kind of help us to sell these things in our mind about, you know, God, you know, it's God's time, you know. He's given us this time. So let's make the best of it. You know, we know that we just can't do the thing that we talk about, we preach about. We can't even just do it on our own. But we know we have to have God to help us. We have to have God to even show us. You know, God first show us what he wants us to do, then he has to help us do it. But we have to be yielding to him to allow him to help us to do what we're talking about doing. You know, that's a big accomplishment. Talking about being an overcomer, you know, some people don't even talk about it. They don't even believe you can do it. We believe you can do it, but we know we can't do it on ourselves. But we have to have God's help. You know, we know that we can be overcomer, but we know we can't do it. But we have to have God. You know, we have to be yielding vessels to God to be able to help us to be overcomer. We embrace that thought, that even that message of being an overcomer. Some people, they already said, no, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. Nobody else is going to be perfect. But we've learned better than that. We know that God's going to have a perfect people. We're going to have people that are given to him. And we embrace that, and we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of what God is doing. So anyway, let's pray today. We got needs among us, and we need God's help. Listen to Brother Steve Wallace talk about this procedure that he's having to go through, and kind of concerned, really concerned about it. Let's pray for him. Brother and Sister Crow, I know they want to be here, but they can't. So let's pray for them. Don't see Sister Brian. I know that she was out, ma'am. Wichita, okay. Anthony and James. Remember Brother Dodge. Pray for him. Yes. Christian people. Remember them. That's hard on them. So I guess everybody understand what you're saying. Holly, that people that brother is, I guess, three generations. Brother Ayo, what was the last name? George Holmes. Yeah. go back, Brother Tucker. No, you know, with, yeah. But anyway, remember them. And other needs and other requests. Yes, Sister Cindy. Yeah. All right, Sister Sydney said Rachel's test came out really well, so thank God. Thank you for praying. And Sister Donna. Okay. Thank you. Need prayer. All right. Need prayer. All right. Any other? Who there? Brother Johnson. Yes. His wife, Beth. I remember. Good to see Brother Shelby. All right, Sister. Here. Yes. He's doing better? Good. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for that. All right. All right. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Brother Renata, yes, and Terrence. Brother Boyd. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank God for that. All right. Sister Julie. Okay. Remember Sister Julie's mom, dad. Pray for them. All right. So, Brother Matt. Okay. What's the name, man? Joe. Remember that worker that worked with Matt. Okay. Brother Mike. Okay. Your mother and your sister. All right. All right. Remember Brother Mike's mother and sister. Okay. I guess Brother Fred, you're coming along with your sir. Okay. Keep praying for Brother Stuart. All right, let's stand, take these knees to the Lord. It's the usher, do the offering. Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to be here together. Lord, we lift you up. I ask that you help us. Lord, help your people. Touch these knees, Lord. Help these brothers in the Lord. Oh God, thank you for good report, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Lord, help each request. precious Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing but a wayworn pilgrim traveling for Jerusalem, seeking for a new home far beyond the valley dim. I have nothing but my faith in Jesus and His everlasting grace. Just a pilgrim, it seems I've traveled all alone. Just a body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Well, I am just a pilgrim. Well, it seems I've traveled all alone. Just a body passing through this world that's not my home. Discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Well, day by day I look to Him for guidance, and I know He'll never fail. By day His gentle hand is leading, and His love will e'er prevail. Though I'm nothing but a wayworn pilgrim and a beggar too, maybe in that land of many mansions yonder, there's gonna be a place for me. Well, I am just a pilgrim. Well, it seems I've traveled all alone. Just a body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm there. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Well, I am just a pilgrim. Well, it seems I've traveled all alone. Just a body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Well, I am nothing but a wayworn pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem, seeking for a happy home in heaven, far beyond the valley dim. I have nothing but my faith in Jesus and His everlasting grace. And I know forever in that city I'm gonna have a rest. Well, I am just a pilgrim. Well, it seems I've traveled all alone, just a body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Well, I am just a pilgrim. Well, it seems I've traveled all alone, just a body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a to Him for guidance, and I know He'll never fail. Day by day His gentle hand is leading, and as love will e'er prevail, I am just a wee wayworn pilgrim and a beggar too maybe. That's not my home. I
I'd like to say I'm really thankful for this church. I appreciate Bible studies like we had this morning. You know, you say, well, Brother Paul, you know, sometimes it's a tendency to bring out that that's in us that might not totally agree with everything, but we want to work together. We want to be what God wants us to be. Brother Smith was telling me coming up the stairs, he said, Brother Paul, if you can't give me Bible, I don't want to hear it. We have a man that wants to stand on God's Word, and we can't hold that against Brother Smith at all. And I have considered that subject with Brother Smith. Can I talk about that? Is that okay? Okay. I've considered that subject we've talked about this morning, and I've encountered people out here in society, you know, that's throwed that in my face. They said, you know, and we can't prove everything. I wasn't back there when God, you know, it's like when he talked to Job. He said, where was you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you? And I'd have to answer like Job did. God, I wasn't here. And, you know, so I wasn't back there. You know, and I've considered, I've even talked to people. This fella approached me in a gas station one day, and he asked me, he said, what do you think about that? You know, talking about people being here before Adam and Eve. And I, up to that point, I had never given it a second thought, Adam and Eve. I said, well, you know, the Bible says Adam and Eve was here. He said, well, what about all these bones we dig up? You know, Brother Fisher was talking about that. I said, well, you know, I wasn't back there. And he said, well, you know, I wasn't back there either. He said, I'm just, you know, and, you know, one has to consider that's not really pertinent to our salvation. You know, Brother Smith talked to us. He said, we're trying to live forever. We ain't trying to live in the past, you know. I don't think Brother Smith said it exactly like that. But the Bible said, always be ready and willing to give an answer for the hope that dwelleth in you. And, you know, as I was standing there talking to that man, you know, he shared what he believed with me. He believed that there was people here before Adam and Eve. I said, well, you know, I'm not going to be mad if I find out there were. And I'm not going to be mad if I find out there weren't. All I can go by is God's Word. Brother Tucker was up talking one time. He said, you know, some people would get mad if they went to heaven and found out that God wasn't really what they thought he was supposed to be. They'd want to come back. Well, I don't want to come back. I want to go on. You know, someone tells me, Brother Paul, you've been wrong. It's this way. I said, okay. All right. And I appreciate a minister that's willing, you know. When I was in school, there was an evangelist back through history lived in the 1800s. His name was Billy Sunday. And I memorized, and it's amazing, I remember it. I can't remember y'all's names, some of you. Sally tells me she's going to put me in a home one day. I hope y'all come see me. Anyway, but this fella, one of the statements he made is, I stand on God's Word. Let me quote that for y'all, if you don't mind. And if some of you can remember it, help me. I feel like the salesman, you know, that knocked on the door. He says, can you help me? I'm trying to sell something, make a living here. You know, he started the conversation out. Can you help me? That's the way I feel. Can you help me? I come to church. I'm not stuck in concrete, Brother Smith. Can you help me? Now, let me tell this story real quick before I tell that one. There's TV shows on TV talking about people that accumulate. Their houses. You walk through the door of their houses and you walk over mountains to get in their house. This fella, his job is to go clean these people's houses out. And they was interviewing him. They said, what do you look for when you deal with these people? He said, I receive telephone calls to help these people. He said, I will not respond if it's a friend or a loved one to these people. He said, but if the people themselves call, he said, and they ask for help, he said, I'll go. And he said, then I look for different things when I get there. He said, if they meet me at the door and they say, will you help me? He said, I can work with them people. But if they meet me at the door and they're resisting, he said, I'll just leave. So Brother Smith, I want to be ready to be helped. I wasn't back there, and I don't know everything. I'm going to try to say this testimony. It was Billy Sunday's testimony is what it's called. He said, one day as Napoleon was riding in review before his troops, the horse upon which he sat became unmanageable, seized a bit in his teeth to dash down the road. The life of the famous warrior was in danger. A private, at the risk of his own life, jumped out, seized the runaway horse while Napoleon, out of gratitude, raised in the stirrups, saluted, and said, thank you, Captain. The man said, Captain of what, sir? Captain of my lifeguard, sir, said Napoleon. The man stepped over to where the lifeguards were in consultation and issued orders to the officers. Thinking him insane, they ordered his arrest and were dragging him away when Napoleon rode up. The man said, I am captain of the guards because the emperor said so. And Napoleon said, yes, captain of my lifeguards. Loose him, sir, loose him. I am a Christian because God says so. And I did what he told me to do. And if there was any other God except that God, or any other Bible except that one, I would have been shipped. And I stand on God's word. And if there were any other God besides that God, I would have been shipwrecked long ago. That's the way I feel about it, Brother Smith. And I appreciate that attitude out of you. You stand on God's word. Now, I know we can't prove. We weren't back there. People ask us, where did God come from? I don't know. But, okay, let's just summarize for a second. Okay, and Brother Smith told me, Brother Paul, I don't want to theorize. I don't want to summarize. Let me buy with it just for a second. Just pretend evolution was really true. And that everything really did start from a single cell. Where did that single cell come from? You know, that's the question one has to ask. And I've told that to people. They've, you know, tried to throw my face. Where did God come from? I said, well, where did that single cell come from? It had to come from somewhere. You know, I'm just surmising, saying that was true. But it ain't. I don't believe that. We don't believe that. I believe there is a superior mind up there somewhere, and I believe he watches over me. I wouldn't feel that feeling every time I come to church. I came in here Wednesday night, that wonderful feeling. I know you folks feel this feeling. I know y'all feel it. When you walk through the doors and you just feel like somebody puts their arm around you, and you say, I know I'm not dreaming this up. I know I'm not dreaming this up. There's somebody somewhere watching over us. Too many little things happen. Too many little things. I know, you know, whether I'm 100% right or whether I'm all wrong, Brother Turkey's telling us, he says, sometimes you got to be like the dump truck driver, just bag up and dump it all out. Say, okay, there it is. I don't have it no more. Teach me. Help me. Like the man, just help me. You know, I just want to have that attitude. And Brother Smith, if it sounds like I'm opposed to you, I most humbly apologize. You know, I sometimes can be pretty strong-willed. And then I got a mind sometimes that can't keep up with everything. You put those two together, it's a bad combination, you know. You know, you're strong-willed and you don't know where you're going. You need help. Need someone to take you by the hand, lead you around. I want to be willing to do that, whatever God wants. But I appreciate this church. God is good, and I believe in Brother Smith. I believe in Brother Smith. I know I've told y'all this. When Brother Smith let me come back, I did not believe he belonged here. I watched Brother Smith like a hawk. And that man don't act to me like, he even said it this morning in Bible study. He said, I don't care if I sit at the main table. My brother McGowan was saying a while ago, he said, should I move over there or stay over here? I said, well, you just do what God wants you to do. He said, well, I'm going to work no matter where I go. That's Brother Smith's attitude. He's going to work wherever he goes. That should be all of our attitude. We're going to work wherever we're at. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad God chose me. I'm glad to be one of his. You know what? Matter of fact, in a world that we live in right now, where unrighteousness, you know, 2014 was quite a year. It was quite a year. It was a year where we watched our government make moves that we know are not positive. They're not even positive for men. But where man sits on the throne of his own heart, Jesus is not going to rule. But we know God's people is going one way and the world is going the other way. We're going to pass each other and they're going to look at us. What are you doing? What are you doing? Like the three Hebrew children. That king told him, he said, when I play the music, you bow before my image. They played the music. Can you imagine how that conversation went? Probably looked at each other. What do you think? What do you mean? What do I think? You know, the Bible says, God's word says not to bow before any other god. Well, okay. They played that music and them guys stood right there. We're going to stand. You know, they're going to play the music out here. And we're singing a song too. We ain't singing the same song they're singing. They're going to play the music. We're going to stand there looking at them. I was thinking this week, you know, how quiet can we be and not draw attention? I don't think it matters. I think they're going to come looking for us, which don't bother me. Because I got plenty to say. And if Brother Smith will help me, I'll have more to say. And these other brothers. Anytime y'all want to get up and give me something to say, I want it. Because when time comes for me to stand, I want to stand. The Bible says, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. I want to stand. I want to be his. I want to be counted his. When they arrest me, I want there to be enough evidence to prove I'm a Christian. I want it to be. I want it to be. Thank God. That dumb old country boy. All right. See if I can remember that one. I don't mind admitting to you folks, I don't know everything. I already said that I don't know everything. And I appreciate all the help I can get. I memorized this poem when I was in school. A dumb old country boy, young lady, looking through a book. She found it. She said, this fits Brother Paul. She's not here. You know, I hope a lot of these people that's not with us anymore, I hope God takes care of these people, you know, in a positive way I'm talking about. But the name of this poem is A Dumb Old Country Boy. It goes like this. Now, I hadn't even thought of it, so y'all might have, some of y'all that's heard it enough times, you've got it memorized. If I say mess up, just straighten me out. I'm just a dumb old country boy that ain't so very smart. And when I talk, I get mixed up. My gears are hard to start. Well, it seems I don't have many brains like other folks I know. And when it comes to society, my dumbness there I show. Well, I find it don't take brains, my friend, the best of life to gain. It's not your wealth or what you are, prestige you might obtain. It only takes this simple faith, eternal life to find. No matter who or where you stand, there's grace for all mankind. Well, I went down to jailhouse once, witness for the Lord. I told them how the Lord saved me. They sure looked mighty bored. Look what the hell. They sure looked mighty bored. Now, see, I did it right there. Huh? Well, they nudged each other and they smiled. They thought that I was dumb, but they stayed in and I walked out when leaving time had come. Well, I'm still a dumb old country boy. I hope I always be just dumb enough to trust the Lord for all eternity. And so I'll just keep traveling on. No brains and not too smart. I'm just a dumb old country boy with Jesus in my heart.
thankful that one day the Lord led me this way, and totally enjoyed Bible study this morning. It did bring questions, and I felt like Brother Paul, David was sitting with Brother Paul and I, and he had a question about man before Adam. And my thought was, is Genesis starts off the beginning of the book, and I'm not trying to set any doctrine or anything, but this is just what I have comprehended through the years of sitting under Brother Liniger and Brother Weiniger and now Brother Smith. It was, to me, just to keep it simple. I'm kind of like Brother Paul David. I'm just a simple-minded little lady, you know, just a country girl that God truly opened her eyes and brought her this way. And I know my eyes aren't totally open because there's so much more to learn that we don't know. But Brother Paul David asked the question, and I don't think he would mind, but it went right along with the subject of, you know, was there something before Adam? You know, did God, you know, or before even God? And just instantly, you know, I thought Genesis is the beginning of the Bible. And I responded with Genesis is the beginning. And in the beginning is when this started. And if God created the beginning, then I didn't feel like there wasn't a question for me. And now I'll kind of I'll bring up something here. Brother Paul and I watched a movie the other day of Stephen Hawking. It's called The Theory of Everything. And it was going through, or he wrote some great papers, his thesis and everything, as far as theory. It was all theory and science. But when it came, and this man is still alive, it's amazing because of the Lou Gehrig's disease that he has. But what really, I think, to me, what I perceived out of it is he never answered with theory the very end of what the question was. And the question was, at the very end of it, was, did he believe in God? Well, he really couldn't. To me, I didn't see where he explained it with his theory. I didn't see where he explained it with the beginning of time. But his last quote after answering this statement was that there was hope. And that right there told me that he had to believe in God. Although he did not sit there with his peers sitting there saying, yes, I do, or no, I don't. To live for years, I believe he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's in 65 when he was 23 years old. He's still alive today. And so he just answered that way. Was, you know, he didn't, to me, I perceived that he did, just because of the way he answered. That told me that he had to realize that there was something out there beyond his theory and his science. And so when Brother Paul David mentioned, you know, the question this morning in the beginning, and then I just appreciate, Brother Tally, what you said, you know, I don't want my mind to dwell on things that I don't feel like are a word of God. You know, you can read all you want to read about theory. You can read all you want to read about science. But my daddy put me in church as a little lady, as a young girl. And that's where my beginning began, was with my dad and with my church. And through time, this is where God brought me. And as I stand here today, and I've got two little ladies with me, I want to make sure that I'm walking as uprightly and showing them that God is where it all begins. And this morning we were having a little discussion on the way to church about friends and friendship. And I was explaining to them that I give Jesus my first fruits. Yes, I do have to work, and yes, I do have family and friends. But I also explained to them that it doesn't matter who is your natural family. It matters, it cares. But the main thing I was trying to explain to them is that Jesus is their best friend. He is better than your parents, your siblings, your natural friends. There is nothing better than Jesus. Jesus was the beginning from what you know, God, and Jesus was our beginning. And so I just want to say that just to me, I'm just simple like Brother Paul David. And I don't want to let my mind, I don't want to encourage even my own grandchildren to dwell into things that to me wasn't the beginning. And I hope I said that, like, I wanted it to come out like it. I hope it did. But I'm just thankful in a church, to be in a church to where I can grow and where I felt like I've grown. I came here when I was 26 years old, and just have sat under a wonderful group of men. I have a wonderful family here, and I just want to go on with God's people.
Did God choose you to become a part of this great group of people? Why did He show you a way that nobody, that other people, the majority of the people don't know? They don't know what God's like. They have a surface of serving God. They don't have a depth of serving God. They don't question anything. They just think, well, we'll just serve God and everything's going to be fine, you know. But, oh, God, one day He looked down on me. He gave me an opportunity to serve Him, to trust Him, to grow stronger in Him. And I am so thankful today that He didn't leave me on the outside. I could have been on the outside looking in. But, oh, God, I'm not looking out either. I'm not in the inside looking out, because I'm looking forward to going further in God, further in Him, lifting Him up, serving Him, regardless what comes, regardless how things are. I want to serve God. That's my purpose in coming to church. That's my purpose in everything I do, is serving God. I was asking Wayne the other day, I said, what would we do? What would we do if we hadn't served the Lord? Oh, our life has been in this church. We've been here all along. And, oh, God, I want to continue until the last breath I draw. I want to serve God, draw closer to Him. Oh, I appreciate Him today. I appreciate that He let me see what was going on. He let me see the great body of Christ. I'm not left on the outside, and I appreciate it today. I want to be found serving God, lifting Him up, magnify Him, glorify Him. Oh, God, You're such a wonderful Savior. I appreciate His Spirit today. I appreciate His goodness to us.
I don't want to lose sight of the fact that the Lord one day reached down and touched my life. And he's been working on me ever since. And I'm thankful for that. I've been through a lot of things. And then, of course, after the Lord brought me this way, I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, I'm thankful for everything we've been through. I said, there's something that you'll get in here that benefits your life that you won't get anywhere else. I said, it's just, it doesn't matter, you know, what all we've been through. It's an operation of God called the body of Christ that the Lord, we know, is working on something specific in the earth. To bring about his eternal kingdom, his family that will live with him forever. And he's been patient many years to bring it about. And to think that he's called me and let me in on it, I don't think it's because I'm so good or any better than anyone else. I just think that I just am one of the fortunate ones that he was able to touch down here in the end of the Gentile world that would be given opportunity to be a part of not only his eternal kingdom, but opportunity to be a part of his bride, rule and reign with him. That almost goes beyond my comprehension. I'm having trouble just ruling this little fella, much less many cities, or God's going to have to do a greater work in me than he's accomplished so far. And I know a lot of that depends on my yielding to him. That's what's mostly important to me is God's working in my life, that I would be his workmanship, be useful to him. I said here not too long ago, and something else I reiterated, my wife and I were talking yesterday. We were just going over where we are in God at our age. And, I'm realizing that I'm not an old man, but I'm not young either. I'm getting up in the age. There's people my age that die, and people think, well, they died fairly young, but not too young, but yet I still have a desire to live for many more years. But I mentioned to her, the thought came to me some time back that we're still dealing more with the concept of the body of Christ than we are a true relationship with God, a personal relationship. And I don't think that you can have one without the other. I think you've got to have, you got to get the concept. You've got to conceive and in your understanding what God's all about and what the main thrust or the main purpose of His calling on our lives is. But somewhere that's got to transfer over to a personal, something personal with God, that you might know Him. If we can walk in the light, I don't think we're there yet, but to walk in the light as He is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. Well, we're still striving to walk in the light, that the Lord is in. We're going to have to get to a certain place before we can have full fellowship with Him. I think we do have a measure, but to have, true fellowship in its fullest meaning, I think it's going to take us getting to a place of understanding. And some things, like some of these things that are mentioned here today, we may have to wait. So God may not reveal. Let me read a scripture to you. I mentioned it in Bible study in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Of course, that's Moses talking, but I think he was given some, all scriptures given under the inspiration of God, and I think God inspired him to not only say that, but write it down. There's some things that God just hasn't, they're secret. We just don't have all the answers on every little thing. That doesn't mean, that there's not things that aren't in the Word of God that we found out, there's nothing in the Word of God that tells you all about human anatomy, but man's found out about it. Science proves that out. There's some proof to it. And I think it's good for us to hold on to the Word, the things that have been revealed to us, and hold on to that. I just feel like that's if we get outside of the things that the Word of God tells us, and we can't explain it with Scripture. If we've got Scripture on it, and then there's another idea outside of our scriptural understanding on it, then we're in no man's land. So I'm thankful, for all of those things are to me sidelines, outside of the main purpose. And my main purpose is to please Him, to really know Him, and to have Him to, I know He really knows me. He knows what I think. He knows what I'm made of. But He has to help me understand that about me, and then I need to know more about Him and how He looks at things, how He feels about things. And so this journey that we're on it's a wonderful way. This kingdom of heaven. I had somebody ask me a Bible question yesterday there's things you never see in the scriptures where Jesus had told His disciples, to find the foal of an ass, that they could, and that when they found it, and I never saw this in the scriptures where it said that He told them that where two ways meet, and somebody asked me, is there two ways? And I thought, what? Said, is there two ways? It says that two ways meet. And, I went back and looked at that scripture, and I finally wrote them back, and I said, it just means there's a fork in the road, Don't get outside too far out of bounds on this. I said, it just simply means there's, that's just where two roads met. It's just a fork in the road. That's where Jesus was just giving you a little, little direction. But anyway, there's so many things. I don't care how many times you read this word of God, there's things that you don't pick up on until you, the longer you, that there's a song that says, the longer I know him, the longer I serve him, the better I know him. It gets sweeter as the days go by. So it's all a great journey. We're on a wonderful journey serving God, and there's things that, you know, there we'll hit bumps along the way, but if we'll stay with it, we'll iron them out. We'll get them smoothed out. Before God's through, every high thing will be made low and every low thing will be brought up. There will be a balance in all of this. So thank God for his goodness and his wisdom, and I just know if we'll keep serving him, he'll help us make it to the finish line. That's my main purpose, is to get to a place where he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And anyway, I'm going this week to the Dominican Republic. Please pray for my trip. We've got five different preachers coming from La Vega and Costanza and some more preachers from Santiago. And then we've got that brother I met up in Puerto Plata and another brother that we've already had in one meeting with us in an area outside of Santo Domingo. And then Brother and Sister Vicente, that church has come in among us and is embracing this. And so we're having a three-day meeting, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday in Brother Green's church. And all those brothers are coming. In fact, there's, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 churches will be represented. And some of them have never been with us before. The brother from La Vega and Costanza, that's where Brother Green went and preached, and there was a light. You know, they got it on recording, and then they saw an angel, several people standing outside a window dressed in white while Brother Green was preaching. And they're still, you know, really lifted up in that experience. Anyway, they're coming, so pray for that meeting this coming week. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Monday I'll fly to Brother Sharber's in Birmingham, and Tuesday morning the minister's meeting starts there. Then I'll be home for the weekend from Brother Sharber's, and then the next week I've got to go to Canada for a week. 6 or 7 days maybe. So I appreciate you praying for my travels and that God would help me. I don't want to just, you know, be traveling for the sake of traveling. To be honest with you, I'm on the verge of burnout. I'm having to fight myself to keep from letting myself feel burned out. But every time I go, when I get there, I feel inspiration and feel the Lord's help. And that is something I don't ever myself want to lose sight of. I think it ought to be brought up in the churches from time to time concerning men of God, the gift of the ministry that operates in men, that I think we ought to have an awe and an honor for. I think we ought to be careful how we treat men of God and realize that, you know, God's hand is on them. The years that they've spent laboring in the field, working in under all kinds of conditions that are not always pleasant. I think we have to keep that in mind. Any church that I'm over, I don't ever want to see us get to a place that men of God are just another man, that are on our level, that we bring them down on, they're just men. We are just men, but we hold high offices, and there's a gift that operates in our life that if we lose an awe and respect for that, we're going to lose God. We're going to lose God out of our midst, because that's how God works. That's how God talks to us. If you think I'm lifting myself up, just go ahead and think it. It's all right with me, but I'm trying to give you a principle that's biblical that we need to hold to. We need to be careful, and we need to hold men of God up in high respect and high honor, and realize, you know, most men of God, even young men, we've got to honor young men if they've got a call of God. But the elders, men who are elders that stuck with the job and stayed on the job and in the field and have stuck it out through thick and thin, there's something to be said for those men. That's why we're here today, is because there's been men like that. And I still respect and regard that with a high regard. I'm afraid of men of God. Brother Brett Weiniger's told me several times, he said, "I'm afraid of you, Brother Smith." Well, I'd like that in one way, and another way I don't like it. I don't want him to be afraid of me, but I know what he means. You know, he said, "There ain't, you know, too many men I've been afraid of, but you're one of them." Well, I appreciate that in him, that he's afraid of God. He's afraid God's with me in a way that he better pay attention. Well, that's respectful, and I appreciate that, you know. And I understand what he's saying, because I can tell you several men that I've been afraid of, and I'm still afraid of several. There's still several men. In fact, almost any man, even young men that are called to the ministry, I'm afraid, you know, to lay my hands on them without, you know, being careful, watching what I do, because there is a side of them that's man. And every once in a while I get to thinking, you know, I'll look for a man. Like Brother Billy Waters is a man that retired from the ministry. Every once in a while I think about him. I think, could I do that? Could I just retire? You know, his situation is different than mine maybe, but of course he really retired from being pastor of the Dallas church, and he moved out of there and let Brother Watson, Brother Billy Watson. I meant to say him all together, because Brother Waters didn't retire, but Brother Watson did. He declared he was retired. He moved out of Dallas, and he had another idea than what we've had in the past, where men maintained oversight of churches that they were over and maybe put pastors in. But he in a way, he said he was retiring, but he still helped Brother Kennedy anytime Brother Kennedy needed his help. And I'd say he probably maintained oversight, maybe not meaning to, but, you know, it may have been forced on him. But anyway, my thought to bring that up was, you know, I've kind of throwed that out to Sister Smith a few times. I've just seen her reaction. I said, "I'm thinking about retiring." She never did, you know, she just laughs at me. But anyway, every once in a while it's a good thought. It may not last very long, but it's a good thought. But anyway, is next week dinner day? Sister Sherry wants to know, how many of y'all would like to have salad and potato bar with all the trimmings? Is anybody in here that say, "Look, I got to have something different besides taters and rabbit food, Brother John"? She asked me about that, and I said, "Well, I don't know if you're going to get, you know, if everybody's going to get on board with you on that." We don't have to. She said, "I can do something else." She was just asking me what I thought about it. So, I already see frowns and I see smiles. I don't know where. I told her, I said, "I think that's the way it's going to be. Smiley faces and frowns, but nobody is going to say, "I don't want us to do that." Probably, you know, people don't like to do that in public. Brother Weiniger likes potato bars and salads. soup, salad, and potato bar. Might even have some meat in the soup. Now we're starting to get more takers. Are we willing to try it one time? All right. I initially, and I hope Sister Ann hadn't forgot this, but I initially instructed that the dinner teams have a menu that they always cook the same thing, so that when we have meetings, we're not trying to figure out a new menu. We've done it time and time again, and every menu of every team is what's on the menu for the meetings. That way we're not, you know, trying to come up with some, you know, a menu and try to cook it for 500 people. We've got a menu, and we just need to figure out how to make it for more people. But we know what we're cooking, and we've done it many, many, many times. That's not original with me. There's other men in the body that done that I got that from, and I said, that's a good idea. You know, so we, you know, but I think from time to time we could vary from it, but not so often that we get away from our traditional menus for the meetings. All right, but anyway, Sister Sherry, you're on for your soup and salad. And she sent me this text. I said, no meat? No, you know, I just tell you, I'm not a soup. I'm a soup guy, but I ain't a potato bar guy. I never ate at a potato bar. That don't appeal to me. But I like soup. And I like salad. I do like salad. May have called it rabbit food now. But if you got me a real nice big meal, something I like, I pass the salad. I ain't filling myself up with lettuce and stuff like that. Not when the thing that I like way more is sitting right over here beside. That's what I'm gonna eat more of. I know, you know, you tell me later about how I need to be eating different what I'm doing, but be patient with me. Be easy on me. Be gentle, you know. Let's stand, give God a praise. Band practice at 4 o'clock. Service again at 5. And is there any announcements that I'm not making? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for this way, we give you praise, Lord, for this is your kingdom, Lord. Help us to learn to work in it and work with you, God. Oh, Lord, go with your people. Direct our steps, Father, and watch over us and keep us in the way. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly.